second to last block. Yeah, Chof Tesson Beis. We're still in the middle of Halacha Beis. No, I think we're actually, we're in the middle of Gemara Chof Chalam and Amar Aleph. Itamar Rabbi Yochanan and Amar Psuli Mamish.
We didn't finish the Mishnah.
Yeah. Right. Itamar Rabbi Yochanan and Amar Psuli Mamish. That's what we're up to. Rabbi Yochanan and Amar Psuli Mamish. Shetri Chov HaMukdam. It's a few lines down on the page.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
If they're
Gary, yeah. You don't have, right, you have Alzeh. Right. Okay. Alzeh, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, right, but it's double asterisk. Okay. So I have Itmar, you have Alzeh. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psulim Mamish. Rabbi Yochanan says a star chov, which is predated. In other words, I only actually borrowed the money on, let's say, Rosh Chod. What? No, I don't think it's Machlokas in the Bavli.
Yeah.
It is?
Absolutely.
I think the Bavli just parcels them outright. That's my recollection, that they're parceled outright. Yeah, I think that this is a unique to the Yerushalmi. I mean, Bavli parcels out Rabbi Yochanan, but I don't think Rish Lakish argues in the Bavli. I don't have here in my cross references that there's a different, that it's brought down the Bavli, this sugya. Sorry. No, it's not. It's not. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan's star chov psulim, in other words, the star was predated. Actually, the loan takes place next week, tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh Chesh, tonight, Rosh Chodesh Chishma, and you dated the star a week earlier, right, to Chav Gimel Tishrei. So Rabbi Yochanan says the whole star is thrown out the window. Shem Elokish Amar Inamon El Mishasa Ksav. Shem Elokish says the star is possible. Yeah, the lashon here is a little bit off. Einam el mishasa ksav means you'd only count from the time that's written, but that's not what it means here. Einam el mishasa haksiva, from the time the time that it was signed, right? Which means that although the shtar is in Rechov Gimel Tishrei, it's kosher only from Rosh Chodesh Chesh when it was actually written. Ask the Gemara, Vatanio, what about this Brisa? This the Brisa says Prusbel, and it sounds like unique unto Prusbel. We have a special kula, Bein Mukdam Bein Meuchar, whether it's written early or late, kosher. Veinamon on the Shasaksah, but you only give it validity from the time it was actually written. The Moimarat came bishtaros. If you reach logos, you're going to say that applies to all stars. Ma'abin Prusbel, ma'abin star. So what's the difference between a Prusbel and a regular star? In other words, why was Prusbel singled out in this price? You should have said all stars. They're all good, even if they're predated from the actual date when they are signed. And there's no response. So that's probably why the Pavli doesn't bring it down, because the shlokish had no response to this price. Tanya, we learn. Shtar is minor kosher b'Shabbos. This is brought in the Bavli, I think. Yeah, a shtar in Bo Basra. Shtar, which is dated, and turns out that it was written on Shabbos. It was the date written. The shtar is Beis Cheshvan, Tov Shinun Ches, which is Shabbos. Oh, Basra b'Tishrei. It's written Yud Tishrei, right? So what do you do with that such a shtar? Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Paisar. Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible. Rabbi Yehuda said, hey, Maisa Bovenechot Zippori, such a Maisa came in front of you in Zippori, Vichsharti, you said it was okay. Amalos, he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Anilo Ichsharti, I didn't say it was kosher. Vimichsharti, if I did say it's kosher, Ichsharti, then I'd say it's kosher for some other reason. But not because I hold that the star is actually kosher when it's written on a date, which is obviously a lie. So, the Gemara, in analyzing this question, say, I have a boy, maybe they want to say, mind the marposel. He want to say it's no good. That's Rabbi Yossi say, is because mishum uchar. Because the loan must have been later and the star is predated. And that makes the star apostle, like Rabbi Yochanan said a moment ago. Mind the marposel. He who says that the star is okay in that case, where it's the date of Yom Kippur, is mishum muktam. Is because it must be that the loan actually took place earlier, right, and they postdated the star. Says, well, no, not true. Ella, here Ella's like, ain't, Ella means usually rather, but here it means no, but rather the reason is different. In other words, the Ella here means it's taking place in several words which are not in the text. It should be low key Elo or something like that. Elamandam are possible. He says that it's possible. Doesn't know that it's possible because necessarily the star was predated. Maybe the star was postdated. Rather than Mishum Ziyuf, because the star looks like it's a forgery. Now, it might not be a forgery. It might be bona fide. But there's a concept of Mizuyef Mitocho, which we learn at the beginning of Masech Gittin. Any star which looks like it has elements which are incorrect or deceptive about it, such a star lights a red light by us, and we don't use the star. So that's what's going on here. He holds that it's not that we know that the star was predated, maybe the star was postdated, but it's Mizuyef Mitocho. It has an inherent flaw in it, which bars us from accepting it. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. And Halacha Gimel Mishnah. Ankos and Prusba Karka, do you see that? It's there. It's a long Mishnah. Okay, Ankos and by the way, sorry to do this to you, but Trumas is going to be the same. Same Gomer. Ankos and Prusba Karka. You only could write Prusba on land. In main law, if you don't have any land, mizakelu betoch sadeu koshu. So you the malve, if the love has no land, the bar has no land, you the malve give him land. Not literally give him land, but you make your land available for him. What if the love had a field, but it was collateral to somebody else? It's good enough. Kaisel approvable. You can use the right approvable. Right, bechutz b'somer, bechutz says kaisel lishan lichsei ishto. If a man is the borrower and he has no property himself, but his wife has property, that's sufficient. Well, the soimim and orphans, they don't have property themselves, but they're now lichsei apotropsim. If their guardians have property, that's sufficient as well. All right, let's go to the Gemara. Rav Amar. We're going to do this two more times in this Mishnah. Rav Amar, you see Rav Amar? V'hu sheyelo karka l'malve v'loloive. Rav holds they both have to have property, both the malve and the loive. Now, the truth is that there's a little bit of sleight of hand that Gemara is pulling. The malve really doesn't have to have it. But the loive needs to have it in order that it should be considered as if Beis Din already collected the loan before Shemitah. Because Beis Din has rights of jurisdiction over all the property among the Jewish people. So therefore, if the loive has land, it's as if Beis Din already collected it before the Shemitah cancels the debts. But the malve is supposed to also have property in case the loive loses his property, so the malve is like a, you know, insurance policy on that. Okay? So the malve doesn't need it inherently. He only needs it as an insurance policy, lest the loive has none. But that's what Rav means.
So the sole purpose for the malve
to have
the property is just for the principal to be
followed. Uh-huh. Right. And it's a backup disk for the you're not on the computers. It's a backup for the loive. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan la malve alpha bishrein loive. Rabbi Yochanan, of course, therefore says that it's either or. Oh, either malve, even the loive doesn't have one, or the loive alpha bishrein la malve, or for the borrower, if even the malve doesn't have. Rabbi Yochanan bishrein Rav said bishrein lo la kelech erchol b'dol sadeu. Somebody only owns a stalk within a field, within his field literally, but it means within a field. That's close to approvable. That's enough. Whereas when Chazal or Misakin, you have to have a piece of land, any piece of land does. V'atani, why not? Wait a minute. How can you say this? Didn't we learn how Shutfim V'arisim, partners and sharecroppers, ain't approvable. They can't have approvable because they don't own any land. But wait a minute. They do own portions in the crop, right? That's so count to the sharecropper. He's getting portions of the crop. So if a kelach echad is enough, it's enough to have one stalk. He's got stalks. What else does he need?
It's not growing in his land.
Well, the Gemara gives a slightly different variation. Not something like you're saying, slightly different. I mean, they said, Tamon kol kelch v'kelch shoshutfusu. Each and every stalk is a partnership stalk. In other words, there's no stalk which is exclusively his. What? Yeah? There's no stalk which is exclusively his. But where you have one stalk which is exclusively yours, that's sufficient. What about if the apotropos has no property? The guardian has no property, but he's guardianing rich orphans. So says, let's hear from our Mishnah. Constantly shall nichsei right for a while, man on his wife's property. So here too, we can write for a man on his wife's property is like a guardian. He doesn't really own his wife's property. He's a guardian. So you can write for an apotropos on the Yisomim's property. When can one write for a woman who borrowed money on the basis of her husband's property? That we learn from Mishnah as well. You can write for Yisomim on the basis of property owned by their guardians, so that you can write for a wife on the basis of property owned by her husband.
One can distinguish one of the apotropos from the other cases. Mm-hmm. By husband, he has at least a kingdom of payrolls. By apotropos, he doesn't have anything.
That's true. He doesn't have a kingdom of payrolls. But kingdom of payrolls, we're generally speaking, the old kingdom of payrolls is lafka kinyan aguf. It's a control.
Okay.
So the Gemara, you're right. A chiluk could be made, but and I'm not disputing with you that one could be madcha. But the Gemara felt for purposes of a din d'rabbanan, the similarity is sufficient. Okay? All right, let's go back to the Mishnah. Kaveres devoirim, a beehive. Rabbi Elazar Meir, this is a Mishnah also, well, not a Mishnah, but a sugi. Yeah, it's a sugi in Bava Basra and in Shabbos in several places. A beehive, Rabbi Elazar Meir, reka karka, it's like land, like ground. Because it's a prusman, you can use the right prusman. Vein makabel tuma, it's considered to be like ground. It's not makabel tuma when it's in its proper place. Varoyim menem b'Shabbos, someone moves honey from a beehive on Shabbos, chayev, he's liable. Say it's not like land. Then you can't write it in a prusbul. And it's makabel tuma where it is, because it's not considered to be connected to the ground. And therefore, it's not connected to the ground. You move honey from it on Shabbos, you are potter, you are exempt. Let's go back to the Gemara. He said, time of the Rabbi Lezer, what's the logic of Rabbi Lezer Dixi, in other words, that holds that a beehive is connected to the ground, that says, say about where Shaul's army came through the forest, and they found that there was honey there. So we see a linkage drawn between forest and honey. What do you derive this pasuk? Chulsha, a forest, mafik dvash, produces honey. So we see that honey is connected, considered to be mechubel karka. It's considered to be connected to the ground. It says the army of Shaul and one of their wars against the Plishtim.
Wasn't that similar to the thing with Shimshon and the lion? Wasn't that lion coming out of the forest?
No, the lion was dead. It was in the jawbone. The honey was in the jawbone.
But that wasn't by a forest?
Could be. I don't remember. I shouldn't say with certainty.
Thing is, the honeycombs are not going to work freestanding. They're not going to attach to something.
Yeah, but whatever, even they're not, you're right. So even they're not attached directly to the ground, he's saying they're connected to the ground. That's their status. Okay? Says Gemara, I'm Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Mona said, "Match, mom." Oh, I would just say, sorry. Says Mona, you know what? Vilu Omar, we're Rabbi Avo, and name Rabbi Shimon Lakish, had to have said the next pasuk, then it would have been even better proof, because it says, "Veit boloso biaras advash." That would be a better pasuk. In other words, there it says that Yonason took the edge of his staff. It's one of the Aftoras, I forget which one. And dunked it in. Maybe it's not.
He wasn't supposed to.
Right, he wasn't supposed to. That's the whole Maisa there was supposed to, because he had taken an oath, right. But it says that he dicked his staff into the forest of honey. So it's not just a linkage. Honey is called a forest, right? That would be a much better drasha. And Rabbi Yossi bar Bumashem and Shimon Lakish, show me, it's okay. He talked her to drush like that. Fight Bolosabi Arasadvash. That we don't know that a honeycomb is called a Mechubel Lakarka because of this pasuk of Eid Bolosabi Arasadvash. Now, says more, let's talk Tachlis here. By man, okay, what are we talking about? Ima Mechubel Lakarka, if the honeycomb is connected to the honey, I should say the beehive, is connected to the ground. Kol ha'mamayde shukarka. Rabbanan also agree that it's like ground then. Even as soon as if it's sitting on pegs, though it's not connected to the ground, kol ha'mamayde she'enu karka. It's not like the ground. Elokeinu kayamu. What did I talk about the phone case? Munachas al gabi karka. It's sitting on the ground, but it's not mechubel lekarka. On that, we have machlokas whether it's considered to have the status of mechubel lekarka or not, and whether we learn out of the pasuk there in Shmuel. Now, interestingly though, the Gemara gives a slightly different spin on it. Vasya kihotam Rabbi Zira b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah. It's going like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Zira said name Rabbi Yirmiyah. Kosim prusim on makomo shel tanur. You could write a prusbul on the place where a oven is. The oven is not what you write it on. You write it on the land which is underneath the oven. Right? An oven takes up space. So you write on this, the space which is underneath the oven. So it says in the prusbul, we wrote it on the, well, it doesn't say anything in the prusbul, but prusbul might be written on the tanur, but the intent is to write it on the ground, which is the base of the oven, right? But on a commercial kira, you can write a prusbul on the base of a kira, which is a smaller type of oven. Rabbi Chia Baraba Amar, af makomoshon there. You can also write a prusbul on the place where a candle is on the ground. Now, there it's not clear already. The Kavanaki brings down what his logic is. Is it because the candle is a base and the base is sitting on the ground, or is it because the candle is in an earthenware vessel? And earthenware is considered to be mechubal karka because of the similarity of earthenware on the ground itself. Right. And then you could go back to Tanur and Kira and say that that it's because it's the same material. And then he does say that. He says, going back, he says, it's possible to understand Tanur Kira based on one of the two reasons. Either based on the fact that it has land which is underneath it, or because it's made out of pottery and therefore it's similar to the land.
The Tanur
can
be moved.
What?
The Tanur's not permanent. It could be moved. So if it's moved around, then the land that's underneath the town.
But at the time the prusbul was written, that was good enough.
Even though it's not.
Right, even though it's not permanent. Because that was land. At that point it was land. And it was larger in size of a stalk. Now, however, a beehive is not like that. A beehive, even if it's not some. You write it on the beehive itself, not on the land underneath the beehive. That's Rabbi Eliezer's Kiddush. That we're not talking about the land under the beehive. No, 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 no. The beehive itself is considered to be a spot on the land. Okay, it's a big chiddush. By an oven, we're looking at the spot underneath it. Or we're saying it, perhaps it's pottery itself. But the beehive can be wood. And it might not be in a designated spot. But if it's resting on the ground, as opposed to resting on a tripod or something, that's considered to be karka. That's the special chiddush Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? So after paske, so do by bread. Do we say? Well, it's actually a question. After paske, machlus rabbez l'chachomim. Do we say also by removing a piece of bread from an oven on Shabbos, which is called redia as well? There too we have machlus rabbez l'chachomim. Rabbez says it's prohibited, and your chayim and chum say it's mutter. So is the Gemara no? Lo, devash gidulei kaveris. Honey grows out of the honeycomb. Pas in a gedulia tanur. The bread does not grow out of the side of the oven. So they have to remove bread from the oven on Shabbos. It's not Issa Doraisa of Kotzer or whatever, whereas to remove honey from a honeycomb is Issa Doraisa of Kotzer called Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? Let's go back to Mishnah. Hamachzor Chobishvias. Somebody gives back a loan, he's during Shemitah. In other words, it's literally, it's not really Shemitah. When is it to this taking place? The year after Shemitah. The year after, because Shemitah is Meshamit B'Sofa, right? So he gives back a loan. Yomar lo Meshamit ani. So the lender should say to the borrower, I Meshamit it. In other words, you don't have to give it back to me. Omar lo Afa Pichein. If then, however, the borrower says, nonetheless, I want to give it to you, then the lender is allowed to accept it. Shneimar says, "Vezed var shmita." As long as he stated that he's fulfilling the practice of canceling the loan, that's sufficient, and then he's allowed to accept it afterwards. Kaya has to pay lip service to the concept of shmita, and that's enough. Kayetzo similarly, roitzeach shegol ir miklat, a murderer who went to a city of refuge. The rotzo anshei lekad, the people see the one mimchabit him because he's big time chacham or something. Yoyim lem roitzeach ani. You should say, you can't be mechabim, I'm a murderer. And they said, nonetheless, you want a murderer. You kabel me. Then he's allowed to be kabel. He has to say, I'm a rotzeach. That's enough. Now, says the Gemara, Omer lo meshamid ani, if he says meshamid, I'm meshamid, that's sufficient. Rabun Amar is an amazing Gemara. I think it's in the Bavli too. No, it's not in the Bavli. Rabun Amar, besofa rafa. Vayomim pshuta lekabel. He said in a small voice. He says, well, I'm sure. He says, like, and he extends his hand. He says, I am mishamet. But he's standing there ready to accept the money in his hand. Okay? I guess a hollow voice would be more proper. A hollow voice with his right hand extended to get back his loan. Okay, Ketzba Rotzeach. Rotzeach Shinin Nikol Vchuli. Amar Biyasar. Biyasar said, Hada Amara. This teaches us. Now, this is a fascinating thing here, not so much for the concept itself, which appears in the Pavli, but for something else. Amar Bar Nash, the Tani Chada Mechla. This teaches us. An individual learned one mesechta. Now, I never thought about this before. Where does the word mesechta come from? Pouring. Something poured. Mesech. No. Like nesachim. Mesechta is like something which is nesachim, right? Like something which is poured, nisuchin yain, yeah. And here, mesechta is called a mechla, a container. So I was wondering about that today. Maybe there's a difference in Bavli because we're talking about it calls them mesechta, things which are poured. You know, it's a container which is poured, but it's a pouring container. Whereas Yushami doesn't call them sechta, it calls it a mechla. A mechal being a container. I was wondering, you know, I didn't come up with anything so exciting, but I was wondering maybe, you know, there's a difference in the etymology that Yushami Bavli is called something which is poured, and the Yushami it's called something which contains. But mechla means mesechta, okay? And mesechta, be that as it may, Bavli Yushami, it means a container which contains something which is pourable. That's what the Lashon of Mesechta means. Yeah, that would be a question to ask him. That's true. Yeah. So, Hadam Rabbar Nash the Tani Chada Mechli, he learned one Mesechta, who was in Lassar, and they go to a place. Vina Mokrele, they give him COVID, begin Taitan, because they think he learned two Mesechtas. Sorry, Chloe, May Marlon, he's got to tell them, Ana Chada Mechli, Ana Chachim. I only know one Mesechta. Don't give me COVID as if I know two. There was a rumor about me once. And I was in Bacher in the Mirror, New York, when I was 1984. So one of the kids, one of the seniors in high school, came up to me and said, "Is it true that you learned all of Shas except for one blot, so you couldn't say that you learned all of Shas?" So I said, "First of all, it's not true. Secondly, anybody who knows me knows it's completely out of character for me to do such a humble thing and not to learn one blot, just in order that I would be humble and say I didn't learn through Shas." All right, but anyway, you have to tell people they have the misconception about you what the real story is. Okay, halacha dalet. Hamachzir chol b'shvi'is. Somebody who returns a loan which Shemitah canceled, lo hachachomim nochei meru, the chachomim look with approbation on such a deed, they approve of it. Haloive min hager. Somebody who borrows money for ger, she's karo bonav imo, whose children convert with him, lo yachzir bonav. If the ger drops dead, he doesn't have to give the money back to the kids because the kids are not his heirs. Midor raisa, right? Vim hirsa, but he did give it back. Ruach chachomim nochem er chachomim are pleased with him. Kol metaltim niknim meshicha. All objects are acquired by pulling them. Anybody who keeps his word, are happy with him. Now those two statements are in juxtaposition. The Gemara is going to discuss that, you know, the famous case of somebody who gave money but then he had to do Mashiach and he wants to renege. What's his status? Okay, that's what the Gemara is going to lead into. Halavi Neger. Rabbi Lezer Mer, says you should only give it back to his kids, to his sons. Now, Rabbi Yassi said, not asked the question, said, don't understand it literally. Malibu Vad Labonav, it doesn't mean that you only give it back to his sons and not to his cousins or whatever. Rather, it means, Im Yesh Labonav, Yachser Labonav. If he has sons, you should give it back specifically to the sons, and only him and Lobonim, only if he has no sons, then Yachzir I meant it wrong. Sorry. Let me do that again. Don't Im yesh lo bar yad, it's a kasha. Im yesh lo bar yad, so bar emein lo bar im yasa liv noisav. What does he mean to say? That if he has sons, you give it to his sons. If he doesn't have sons, you give it to his daughters? No, that's not what he means. Rather, what Rabbi Elazar mean to say? Shelo tomar ho ve'en yushas agir dvar toira. That you shouldn't say that since the Yerushas Hager doesn't exist midaraisa, but rather it's a nice gesture. You might say that you only give to you can give even to his daughters. In other words, I might say that normally daughters don't get anything, but here this is not a daraisa Yerusha anyway. Daraisa, his boy shouldn't get anything anyway, right? So I might say here I'll be a feminist and I'll give also the daughters, right? That's why Rabbi Luz is saying, no, Yachsu Lubanov. You give specifically to the sons. And you only give to the daughters if there are no sons. Okay? So even here, where it's not a Yerusha Daraisa, you maintain the parameters of Yerusha Daraisa, which state that the first recipient of Yerusha is a son. And only if there is no son, then you give to a daughter. Okay? Tani, Kayetzba, we learned similarly. This is a very interesting halacha. Misha Mesof Mishpachto, a Jew, JFB, a Jew from birth. So he's got relatives. But all of his immediate family died, except for his wife, his mother. Ve'en lo yerush alim, and he only has one heir, which is his mother. Now, normally, do mothers inherit their sons? No. Because it goes by the shevet of the father. So therefore, mother will never, according to halacha, inherit her son. It's an impossibility. But here you can't find any close relatives. Of course, everybody's got relatives, right? Go back to Yaakov Avinu. Any Jew's got relatives. But here you can't find the relatives. You can't find them. They're not locatable. So in that case, lo yachzir. You don't have to give it back to the mother, of course, right? Because it's not coming to her. But if you give it back to the mother, ruach chomi noche meno, chazal are happy with you. Okay? Now we turn the tables. Hagazan shows a tshuva, a thief who does tshuva, who bikesh lahachzir sagzela, and he wants to give back the theft. I'm a kavim menu, somebody who accepts the property from him. And ruach chomi noche meno. Chomi are not pleased with the people who want their property back. Why is that? Why would you say that's the case? Because if he owes so much money, he's not going to do proper tshuva. So therefore, in order to make sure he does proper, he as an incentive to get him to do tshuva, we don't accept back the money which he offers. Not if he owes too much. That's by not a professional thief. It's by an amateur. But a professional, you make him hate Shavuot Gaza, forget it, ain't going to be no tshuva. Right? So therefore, by an amateur, we say you take it back. By a professional, it's supposed to be much. What?
He's only doing a token.
No, he wants to return the whole thing, but you're not supposed to take it from him. Because that'll bankrupt him and he won't do proper tshuva. You know, he'll go and steal again in order to pay back all the debts he incurred. Just be Michael. Let him keep the money. I'm not making this up. That's what it says here, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's Gemara in Sukkah. It is. Yeah. Okay? I don't know. Do you have that header? Or just goes Rabbi Chia Barva. Rabbi Chia. Okay, I have Rabbi Chia Barva. Do you have Barva? Yeah, but it makes more sense to say Rabbi Chia Barva because Rabbi Chia the Great, Rabbi Chia Ruba, as he's called in the Yerushalmi, was Rabbi Yochanan's uncle. And he was older, so Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't be saying things in name Rabbi Yochanan. So Raz Rabbi Chia Barva named Rabbi Yochanan. Had noisei v'noisim dvarim. Somebody who buys and sells verbally without making kinyonim. Zini atomai in ruach chomi nochei meno. Sometimes you just say chachomi are not pleased with him because he abuses the trade. But zimni atomar ain't most of my soul el misha parah. Sometimes you say you don't give him over to anything else except for misha parah. Do you remember what misha parah is? What's a misha parah? Mish invoking, not revoking, invoking. Oh, the smicha. Misha parim idora mabul yifram misha enum oime b'diburo. If I give you money for something, so most konus midorais not midrabana. I give you money for something, and then we neg on the deal and ask for money back. You have to give me my money back. But you can go to shul and give me the curse of misha para. Okay, that's the curse. Chachamim, in order to try and make sure people don't renege on money they gave, so they institute a curse for anybody that does renege. Okay? So sometimes, if you're buying and selling with verbally, so sometimes you don't get a misha para because money has to exchange hands in order for misha para to be instituted. That's the time you get a misha para. Rabbi Zirav, Rabbi Avoh B'Shem Yochan said, however, there are exceptions to that rule. Let's say you gave a down payment, not of money, but you gave a down payment, it's not really a down payment, it's a security deposit of tabas, of a ring, l'chaveiro, would be a shlachzer, but now you want to renege on the whole deal. Chayzebo, you can renege and you don't get a mishapora. So it says the Gemara, why? But Rabbi Zira, but Rabbi Zira asked for an avo, amalei tabas, why not to get a mishapora? Amalei tabas, almost. He said, because it's a ring. What's the difference? I give a down payment of a gold piece or the down payment of a ring. Zov darkolishtanos, because normally the guy who gets the payment of the gold piece is going to go and spend it and use it. So therefore, that's much more of a definitive, transaction. Whereas tabas beinoi, a ring, it's not being given to the seller as a bona fide down payment, it's just as a security deposit of some sort. So therefore, misha para applies to bona fide legitimate down payments, which can be spent by the seller. They do not apply to security deposits, which the seller is not likely to spend. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi and Rabbi Avoh B'Shem Yochan said, they both said, Omar lite maton chavero. If somebody wanted to give said he's going to give a gift to his friend, Ubigaj Lausabo, and then he decides he wants to renege on the deal, Chayzabo is allowed to renege. Come, Rabbi Yassim, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi, V'amidlei! So Rabbi Yassim caught up to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi, and he said to him, wait a minute, Ahein lav tzedek, that's not just, and it says, V'in tzedek. Chazal darshin in ksuvas da peivav, it says, in kiteitze, Hein tzedek, Eifas tzedek. And Chazal Dashim that sheyeh hein shulchot tzedek v'sheyeh lav shulchot tzedek. When you say yes, you must keep your word. And when you say no, you must keep your word. So where's the keeping his word here? We're letting him renege on the deal. He says he's going to give a gift, and we're letting him renege. Amar Yisrael said that's different. B'shoh shomar hein, when he promised to give it tzedek, he thought he was going to give it. At that time it's tzedek. Meaning, what he means to say is that a matana doesn't have that same parameter. Where it's an obligation, so then I say you have to abide by original obligation. But by a gift, a gift is a gift. It's different. It's a lower level of, of transaction. So therefore, a person can renege on a gift even after he verbally declared he's going to give it. As long as there's no kinyan involved, he can still renege. Again, there's no misha para either. Okay? Rav Polig. Rav argues. Rav says you got to keep your word. Rav Amar Karana Amar Libnei Beisi, when I say to the members of my household, Lita Matzonel Bar Nasha, they should give a gift on my behalf to certain individual, Leison Ochazbi, and never renege. Now, the Gemara understands this very interestingly. The Gemara understands that this works because of Mamach Loishta. Mamach Loishta means, let's say I give you an object, the safekeep, and I say to you that be mark that object to Rav Meir. You have to give it to him. And that's a kinyan. Midrabana. Midraisa, that doesn't work. Because you have to do Mashiach, you have to do Agbah, you have to do kinyan most. Midrabana, just the fact that I told you to give it to him in order to make it unclean makes it his.
Yeah, but
you didn't do anything. You went for being my safekeeper. You don't have to. You already had it in your possession for safekeeping. So you go from being my agent for safekeeping to his agent for safekeeping. That's called mamach loishta. That Gemara doesn't know that yet. Gemara doesn't know that yet. We're going to get to that in a moment, that the altar has to be present. We don't know yet. Okay, so says the Gemara. So Gemara understands that Rav holds this mamach loishta, even though all three are not present. And the Gemara says, Masdisa pliga the Rav. I lay the Rav. So fine, Brisa argues the Rav. The Tani, we learned the Brisa. Ema say, Omram, Metatli, Nikli, Mashiach. When can a person acquire movable objects by pulling them, Bershus Rav, in a public domain, or Bechotter, Chenshu's name, or a Koya, which doesn't belong to either of them? Bershus Amoch, however, if the object is in the seller's domain, Lokona, the buyer does not acquire Achegvi until he lifts it up, or Achegim Shoch Vyotzi, or until he pulls it and takes it out. We are at Yotzi's Kula, it takes up the entire thing, Birshus Bailim, from the domain of the owner as it now. Birshus Lokeach, if this transaction is taking place in the buyer's domain, Kemish Kibbalav Amalikher Kona Lokeach. Once the Moichar accepts upon himself that the transaction should go through, the transaction goes through automatically. Because what acquires the object for Lokeach in that case? What acquires the object for the buyer in that case? It's in the buyer's backyard. What acquires it for the king of chutzner, right? Because it's in the buyer's chutzner. Okay. Birshus then now comes what we're really looking for. Birshus then she moved Kadim at so if I gave him the book for safekeeping, Lokona she's kenubahin. You don't acquire it until it gets to your hand. Or Chiaskilus Makoman until you rent to him the place where the book is, which is Kinyan Chotzer. So Ma'avad La Rav. So what's Rav do with this? We see Maimon Shloshan only works if all three are present. Says Mara Kam Shemido Etzlo. Rav so he played about a case where all three are present. Then Maimon Shloshan works. Khan, the bright story about a case where not all three are present. Are you and him, and therefore mamach loishim doesn't work. That's why you need to have a kinyan chatzer, a kinyan money, whatever, not kinyan money, a kinyan chatzer, kinyan mashiach, whatever the case may be. Okay, that's one lashon. Now we have another lashon. What Rav said. I think it's time to go make the scene. Do you have the stuff here? So let's set up downstairs. Oh, we can do it here. All right, we're in the last gemara mesechta shviyas. Rav Polik. Rav argues there was a premise stated in the Gemara, which is that if I promise to give a gift, I can renege on it. I don't have to keep my word, right? And we had one version which Rav argued one way, and now we're going to have a lishna achrin, another way in which Rav seems to argue on that. The Rav Amar, Rav said, "Kad ona Amar libnei Basi." When I say the members of my house, "Alite matzon lebarnosh," that they should give a gift to a certain individual, "Leis on a chazabi," I never renege on the deal. So. Chad Barnash. So what happened was that once an individual, Afkid a Ravon, he gave a Ravon is not really a down payment, it's like a security deposit. Whereas you're going to buy something, so you leave like a token of a down payment. It's a token. It's not the actual down payment. You leave a ring or a watch or something like that. That's called an a Ravon. Like Yehuda gave to Tamar a Ravon until you know his staff and whatever else what he gave a chosem is fabsilim until he actually was going to pay her. So chad banash afkide rovan al milcha, a certain individual gave a security deposit on salt visiakris. In the meantime, the price of salt went up. Asel gabi rav, so they came in front of Rav to find out what to do. Vamar lein, Rav said to him, oitein lo kol eravono, either he gives him salt. The seller has to give him salt, which corresponds to the value of the eruvim. Say the eruvim was worth 50% of the price of the salt, right? So he has to give him salt, which corresponds to whatever the value of the eruvim is, not the full value of salt. Or if the seller of salt wants to renege on the whole deal, so he's got to accept upon himself that quaint curse which we give all people who renege on deals in shul, mishapara midaramabu, ifram mishaino omed bidiburo, which is the curse you give to somebody who doesn't abide by, doesn't follow through in a contract when he got money on it. So michlefa shita se derav. So this is a contract, this literally exchanges the opinion of Rav. That means a contradiction to Rav. Tamanu Amar over there, he said, when I say to the members of my household to give a gift to somebody, I never renege on the deal. And here he says that you can renege on the deal, right? Not on the entire deal, but at least on that which is above and beyond the value of the Erovon. Right, you only have to give the 50%, which corresponds to the value of the Erovon. How can you renege on the rest of the deal? So it's more, the difference is very simple. Taman lemida sadinhu. What Rav Paskin in that case of the salt is the strict letter of the law, right? That you only have to deliver on the value of what the Erovon was, which was given. You don't have to deliver on the full value which you promised the guy. That's according to the strict letter of the law. My the Rav Noig, that which Rav, however, would not renege even on a gift once he promised to give it, much less on this kind of transaction where it was a monetary transaction. Lemidas Chasidus, that's not Midas Adin, but that's the Midas Chasidus which Rav manifested. And we'll say the Hadron.
Not today.
It is. It's easy. Chamisha lo yitrumu. Five people should trumas. We're starting, for those of you who are listening on tape, starting trumas. I'll come it out. Chamisha lo yitrumu. Five should not take off truma. Being tormo, if they did take off truma, ain't truma, so truma, the truma is not a valid truma. Who are these? A cheresh, person who's deaf mute. A shoiter, person who's an imbecile. A cotton, a child. Hatorim Meshev Shalos, somebody takes Truma off that which is not his. Nachri Shatorim Meshev Yisrael, because later in the Sech we'll see, if a guy takes Truma off his own stuff, it works. He's Rabbanan. A guy can take a Truma off his own stuff and give it as Truma to a Kohen. But a guy cannot take Truma off Yisrael's stuff, even with permission. Okay? And we're going to learn that from Apostle. Rabbi Shmuel of Asayz Gemara, going to the Gemara now. Told you the same thing. Rishmuel by Nachman, Shema Lekulun Minocha. He learned all of these halachas from the following pasuk. Now this is just an asmachta, because this is talking not about truma of grain, but about the truma they gave in order to build the base hamikdash, right? But he learned from here. Now Be'er Bnei Yisrael Vichli, truma they should take from me, truma. So it says Bnei Yisrael, Prat Legoi, excludes a goy. Meis Kolish, from all men, Prat Lekotan, excludes minors. Asher Yidvenu Libo, whose heart gives a voluntary donation. Well, heart implies that you can think about it, right? Pralachesh Shoyt, that excludes a deaf mute and an imbecile for considering not to have das. Vizosa Truma Asher Tikach Mtikul Me'el Tito. This is the Truma to take from them. Pralatorim Meshen Oshlo. This excludes somebody who's torn that which does not belong to them. Ask the Gemara by Ketani. Or Chayv Shoyt Vekotin, all three of them. Why don't we say that their maisa proves what their machshava is? Because that which kind don't have a maisa, it's not can't do things. It's not universal. If it's the type of maisa which indicates what their das is, then they have das. With das, which is ambiguous, they don't have. But das which is unambiguous, where the deed proves what the das is, that kind of das a cotton does have. It's like, right. So why don't they have once they're taking off truma, isn't it obvious what they're doing? So it should be considered to be that they do have das in this case. Okay? The tnina tamon, we learned over there, halum. They took up grain, or, it's actually fruit, sorry. It took up fruit to a roof in order to dry, that they should get wet. They should get wet, and what happens when fruit gets wet? It's machshul kabatuma, right? So, hell, chesh v'kotan, avo bishachish v'sherid lehm, alem tau. So the truth is, in that case, even though their intent was that they should get moist with dew and a chutan, it's not considered to be makabel tuma. Why? Because ketanim have a maisa, but not a machshava. And here it's not unambiguous. It is ambiguous. Why is it ambiguous? Because what they might have other reasons for taking up to the roof. What might be reason taking up to the roof in order to dry it, in order to store it. So therefore, it's not unambiguous, and therefore they don't have a maisa.
So they know what they're doing, but they don't know why they're doing it.
They might even know why they're doing it, but it does us no good. They might know what they're doing and why they're doing it, but unless it's a maisa which is unambiguous, we don't care. What is Ezu maisa shlem? What is a maisa by them? Rabbi Chuna said, "Betufus b'em betal." If a katan holds up the fruit to the dew, right? That indicates that he wants to get wet. In that case, it's unambiguous. Over there, the following. If a chayav shreid v'katan took a cow down to water in order to rinse its feet, and there are fruits in the water, so then we say the fruit is royal gabel tumah. Why? Because then we know the principle is it doesn't have to be that you want the water to come onto the fruit, but rather the water is beneficial to you in some way, that's sufficient in order to be machshir l'kabel tumah. So they took the cow down to the water, even though they thought to do it in order to rinse its feet. It's not machshir l'kabel tumah. Why? Because it's not unambiguous. Because maybe it's not considered to be actual raton. I guess maybe they don't. It's not clear why they're leading the cows down to water. Maybe they're just leading down to water because that's the direction which they want to walk, but not that they want the cows to wash their feet. Ezu Maisa Shem, what's unambiguous? Rabbi Chuna ben Mishav Shepoem b'mayim, when he takes the cow's leg and starts, you know, washing it in the water, rubbing the water. V'amor, so says the Gemara, let's say also Avchacha here too. V'yachiach ma'aseh shel machshavtam. Let their deed indicate where their machshav is, and let's say the truma is valid truma. Says, well, you know what? Hypothetically, you're right. But Rishmur, Rabbi Avoh, Shem Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Zir, Shem Rabbanin, all said, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. It says by truma, it's considered to you. V'nechshav. When it's because it says consideration, thought, ain't ma'aser shlom mochiach ha-machshavto. You don't say this principle of ma'aser mochiach ha-machshavto. When do I say that? When the primary thrust of the ma'aser is the deed itself, just that you need kavana on the deed. So then it cotton. As long as the deed is unambiguous, that's considered to be sufficient. But where the primary thrust of the deed is the thought that a katan doesn't have. And therefore, in this case, even though it's an unambiguous maisa, it doesn't help. The machshava here is because you need to have machshava as the primary focus, and they have a lack of machshava. Says the Gemara, v'e'eshe ein kasuba machshava, only where it doesn't say the word machshava in the Torah, there maisa shlom mechiyacha machshavto. There the maisa, which is unambiguous, is sufficient. But here, even an unambiguous maisa is insufficient. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said. Kushiyai say, ask the Shiloh, kumi Rabbi Shmuel in front of Shmuel, based on what he just said. Hare gittin, dein kosu ben machshava. By gittin, it doesn't say that you have to have thoughts. It doesn't say, v'nechshav lochem gittchem. Vei maisa shlom echir machshavto. Yet there we say that the maisa doesn't prove the machshava. Why not? The thing that someone wears here that says, Hakok shein lichtov is again. It says anybody can write again. Vafilu chayr shayt v'katan, even a deaf mute, an imbecile, and a child. V'ravuna v'ushi epikeach oim nagabal. That's only if a person who is an adult, sane individual standing over them. Why? Let the mice of writing again, which is unambiguous, be enough to prove that they had machshava. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan said the reason why it doesn't work, boy, he stated voxi because of lishma. He said the reason why it doesn't work because it's not written properly lishma. So why not? Because the machshava works because ma'aser mochiach machshavto. Says more, very interesting answer. How the Rabbi Yosi Bama, Rabbi Yosi responded to his own question. He said, "Tamon zekoysev is emagarish." Writing is not indicative because writing is not the true ma'isa. What's the true ma'isa? Giving it. So he's just writing it. He's not being megarish with it. So it's not mochiach anything. It has to be written lishma. And this is not written lishma necessarily because lishma means that it has to be with an unambiguous intent to be megarish. Yes, to give it might indicate an unambiguous intent to be megarish, but not writing it. He might just be writing it as an exercise in penmanship. We don't have any proof of lishma in his writing it. Okay. By us, however, he's doing the machshava, he's taking the truma, and he has the machshava, meaning that they're both in the same act, right? So therefore, if not for the pasukim nechshav lechem trumaschem, which excludes the katan, I would say katan is katan ma'isa machshircha machshavtun, that would be sufficient. Rabbi Yaakov Acha said the same thing, a slightly different version. Rabbi Yaakov Acha Amar ha'ilu kasav hu v'gireshu, were he to be the one who's writing, the one who's megarish, gedu, would have been valid. But it's not, that's not true. However, in our case over here, he is the one who has the machshava, he is the one who takes truma, and that's why it's valid. Okay? Wasn't that a nice, easy omen? Much easier than Shvi's, right? Hacheresh. Do you have a cheresh? Okay, no hero, right? You have Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha? Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha and Rabbi Chia Bar Vav, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, both said Rabbi Yochanan, that Chalukim al Shona Hazo. There are those who argue on this Mishnah. Shona here means Mishnah. Malkedon, what now? In other words, where do we find that? I see the Rabbi Yochanan, the Trumos, the Rabbi Yochanan here who said that those who argue on our Mishnah Trumos, he's making reference crud. Excuse me. Rabbi Shmuel, but notice Rabbi Yochanan broke the Kiddushin. To that which Rabbi Shmuel was the son of Rabbi Yochanan broke and said, by Kiddushin, now this Kiddushin is not Kiddushin of marriage, but rather Kiddushin of Mechatos, sanctifying the Paradumo waters. With Rabbi Yochanan the Gittin, there's Rabbi Yochanan, which we'll see later on, who says, by Gittin there's a Machlokas, Asik Rabbanan, the Kiddushin, that he's making reference to the Sheet of Rabbanan, by Kiddushin Mechatos. What case it's all about? The time we learned, Chere Shoyte Vekotan. A deaf mute, an imbecile and a child, Shakichu, they poured the Paraduma waters, which has to be done with Lishma. So there, it's got, if they did it, Ain't Kiddushin Kiddushin. It's not valid. Right? So that's like our Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan Merokho argues, and by inference says Rabbi Yochanan, he argues in our Mishnah. Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan Merokho Omer, Beinon Levein Atzmo, if they do it themselves, privately, Ain't Kiddushin not valid. Beinon Levein Yochanan, but if there others are standing there, which is the concept of Godel Oymin Al Gabam, an adult standing over them, so the Das of the Godel works, Kiddushin Kiddushin, then the Kiddushin Mechatus is valid. And so too, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Mistama would say by Truma also, if a God was standing over them, then the Truma would be a valid Truma. Okay, so we argue in our Mishnah. Tanim, now we're talking about, let's talk about Get. Cheresh, Shetoram, a Cheresh who took up Truma, and I don't know if you have the next words. Oshagiresh, do you have those words? Okay, so Oshagiresh, or he gave a Get, Engito Get. Right, definitely gave a Get, it's not a valid Get. Vain truma su truma, and his truma is not a good truma. Armor shirin gamliel shirin gamliel seva med, or armor when is that true? Bishir hoya cheresh mit chlosa, when it's cheresh from birth. Avlima ya pikech, if he was a, normal person, he's cheresh. And now he became deaf mute. Kosev, he can write again. Vacher mekaim in ksav yodo, and other people look at his ksav yodo, And they see that he knows how to write, and he is lucid, so he can give a get. In those circumstances, he gave a get. Now, do you have shomei veinu medaber?
Yes.
Somebody can hear and cannot speak, zo elam. That's called a mute person. Here's a slightly different gear, so the same idea. Shomei veinu medaber, somebody can hear but cannot speak, zo elam is mute. Medaber veinu shomei, somebody could speak and cannot hear, zo cheresh is deaf. Zevis arenk pikrim. They're both considered to be lucid. Am Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha said Rabbi Chia bar Ava and Rabbi Chia bar Acha named Rabbi Shir Yal Yochanan Chalukin ala Shoyne Hazos. They argue on this Mishnah. Who argues on this Mishnah? So here it says Rishin Gamliel says that Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you have a case where a person is a cheresh, right, who can give a get, right? Our Mishnah holds not that way. Our Mishnah doesn't draw any distinctions. Right? Our Mishnah says that a cheresh can't take off truma, no matter what the case may be. Amrei, they said, v'homas nisa pliga. This the following brayso also argues. You know what? We'll have to stop here because it's already after 10:05, but we did almost a plot.
Actually, I miscounted.